Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And we had a, little female edition of our Church Folk Day. And we had a couple of interesting stories to start our morning. What about the four-year-old who was already ready to shoot at the police? Yes, dad was being arrested in front of McDonald's. And, what happened when he commanded his four-year-old son to shoot at the police? And those little hands went up in the firing position. Yes, what are we teaching our children? They're at the gun range now? What about the gentleman who was sitting on the woman's couch when she woke up that morning for 4 hours? He had a seat in her house. Yes, and she woke up to a brand new type of morning with a new visitor. Thank God. Thank God that all was safe. Well, our main conversation for the morning was about the priest who, the Catholic priest, remember now, it's the Catholic people. Yes. Well, unfortunately, for decades, the priest had been saying the words, "We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," instead of the phrase, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Well, all of those individuals, babies that is, probably most babies, their baptism was null and void because of that one word, according to the Catholic diocese. And, we did a little picking. And we talked about, if that truly was the thing that invalidated their baptism, more than the fact that the baptisms of the Catholic faith is to sprinkle, water over the baby's head and say those words, and now the child is considered to be baptized. Well, the Bible tells us that we need to have an immersion of water. Our entire body needs to go under water. in order for us to be considered baptized. Yes, we can, you know, navigate through the Word of God the way we want to and the way we feel, you know, we should. We also thought about the fact that, hey, there's a Bible verse that says, call no man father. Well, they still do that. Yes, they do. So, you know, there are a few things that might invalidate the baptism more than that sprinkling and that, that word, I and we. Yeah, I think you need to go back, and I think you need to listen to that conversation yesterday. The ladies were on point yesterday, and they had it all together. Yes, they were hitting those marks. Very good. You know, Pastor Charlene brought up the fact that, you know, when we go to church, we need to pay attention to everything. You know, are they crossing their T's and dotting their I's? You know, are we paying attention to everything that's being said? And, you know, were the congregants actually catching the fact that the priest was using we instead of I? And if so, what happens after that? You know, sometimes we get caught up in all the frills of, you know, it's a baby and it's beautiful and it's so cute. And, yeah, that we don't really pay attention to the words, as my mother would say, the words that are being used. And sometimes if we were to pay just a little more attention, we might catch a couple of things. So was the congregation really listening, or how about this one? Did they even know what to listen for? Because remember now, they're there for a baptism per se, and a lot of them probably may not even go to church other than those times. You know, think about that. You know, if you don't go to church but only for baptisms and, you know, Christmas and Easter and Mother's Day and all of that, then are you really going to catch when the, you know, pastor or the priest or minister or whoever says something erroneous? You may not even know any difference. Yeah, it all means the same to you. So that's one of the reasons why we got to really study. One of the reasons why we really need to be in church, so that we can really hold down the Word of God and really be able to minister ourselves. Now, I don't mean you're going to go and be ordained. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you remember, each and every one of us, once you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you know, you are called to be a disciple. Now, there's no way you can really disciple if you don't know the Word of God. How are you going to evangelize? Come on, we're talking about real evangelism. You know, and yes, you can really evangelize. You can really draw people to God the way God has called us to do. But if you don't know your word, then that ain't really happening. So, you know, it makes me ask the question, you know, when was the last time you brought somebody to church? Yeah, you got to have something to draw people with. Yeah, other than the choir sings good. Or, girl, my pastor can preach. Yeah, got to have a little bit more than that. So, we had good old conversation yesterday in, you know, our little girls talk, and giving God thanks for being able to sit amongst, you know, some of the finest women that I know. Amen. Amen. So today, is Wow Wednesday. Yes, we have made it by the grace of God safely through the week. Yep, safely through the week. We've made it, and God has ushered us into the beginning of the week, and he's ushered us into the middle of the week. And you know how Wild Wednesdays go over here? The ladies are knocking it out the box. Yes, they are. So, you know, you want to make sure that you get that healthy breakfast. You want to make sure that you tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And you want to make sure you don't go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
We know the cause for some birth defects, but for most, we don't. That's because we think most birth defects are caused by a complex mix of factors. There are some factors that can increase the chance of having a baby with a birth defect. These are called risk factors and include smoking, drinking alcohol, or taking certain street drugs during pregnancy, having certain medical conditions such as obesity or uncontrolled diabetes, taking certain medications such as some acne drugs, having someone in your family with a birth defect, being an older mother, typically over 34, and exposure to some chemicals and viruses during pregnancy. Having one or more of these factors doesn't necessarily mean your baby will have a birth defect. It is important to talk to your doctor about what you can do to improve your chances to have a healthy baby.
Well, good morning to you again, and welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday, oh, today. And God has awakened us to see a brand new morning. And how blessed are we to be on the other side of the fence. Yeah, isn't that great? Yes, I would like to think so. You know, God has really, really, really been good to us, and we are here in the middle of the week without any hurt, harm, or danger. So that's enough to raise the roof right there. I would think so. Well, we got our girl Vivian on for our socially conscious segment. Let's say good morning to Viv. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Happy Wild Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you, Vivian. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good, good. What you got for us this morning?
Alrighty, today on Socially Conscious, I'm actually excited to get to these COVID numbers this week. Top five states with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are... California is still number one with 91,096 cases in the last 7 days. That is a decrease of over 100,000 cases since last week's report. Texas is still number two with 64,540 cases. That is a decrease of over 24,000 cases since last week. Florida is still number three with 39,060 cases. That is a decrease of over 31,000 cases since last week. North Carolina is number four with 34,059 cases. That is a decrease of over 61,000 cases since North Carolina was in the top five since earlier this month. Illinois is number five with 26,207 cases. That is a decrease of over 33,000 cases since Illinois was in our top five back in December of last year. So as we can see, even though we have some newer states reaching the top five this week, every single state has seen a very large decrease. And as we just got through praying this past Sunday with the Word Project for Thanksgiving, let's definitely give thanks for these decreases and these COVID numbers this week. And now an update on the Ahmaud Arbery case. As you know, all three men were found guilty. They then had to go on trial for charges of hate crime, meaning the men targeted Ahmaud Arbery due to his race. Well, the grand jury has found all three men guilty on all counts of a hate crime. Judge Lisa Wood announced that the jury found father and son Greg and Travis McMichael, as well as their neighbor William Bryant Jr., guilty of violating Arbery's civil rights and targeting the 25-year-old man because he was black. Again, all three men were previously convicted of murder in Georgia State Court and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And now all three men have now been found guilty of a hate crime. Again, something else to be thankful for, at least in my opinion. We now have some local news of a woman who was shot three times by an Uber driver after they got into an argument during her ride share to her destination. Reports say police responded to the scene at 10:30 p.m. in College Park, Georgia. The woman's father said his daughter told him that the driver picked her up in a car that did not match the color description on the Uber app. The article does not discuss exactly what the argument was about, but the driver shot this pregnant woman in the stomach and in the leg, forcing her to have to deliver her baby prematurely. Thankfully, mom and child are both doing well. Uber has said that the driver's account is deactivated and that they are working with authorities to help with the investigation. They are encouraging you not to get into the vehicle if anything about the vehicle or the driver does not match the description Uber gives you for your ride. Needless to say, this goes for Uber, Lyft, or any other type of ride share service. Next, we have some stories that are highlighting MTA. Reports say that the New York City Transit Authority has just seen a very violent weekend with at least 9 assaults being reported in the subway system within a 48-hour period. And just quickly running through some of these stories, starting with a listener-submitted story of a Good Samaritan save gone wrong. Reports say that 36-year-old Ronald Houston was killed by an oncoming D train after he saved Noel Soto, who was knocked unconscious when he was allegedly thrown onto the tracks by a group of gang members. 39-year-old Soto said he was approached by the group of young adults telling him to stop making a bunch of noise back on New Year's Eve. They then began to choke him, throwing him to the floor, kicking him, and then throwing him onto the tracks. He was saved by Mr. Houston. And then Mr. Houston died after he was hit by the oncoming train. Mr. Soto is now seeking to sue the MTA for at least $500,000 in damages, saying that the workers failed to summon emergency assistance and that changes to the station made it less safe, including the installation of less restrictive turnstiles that made it easy for the assailant to jump in and jump him. Another story is of a female conductor who says teenagers threw rocks at her during her shift in Lower Manhattan. Reports say the group of young children attacked her on duty Monday night, throwing rocks at her, striking her in the face and in the chest. She was treated at a nearby hospital and is expected to make a full recovery. Another woman was attacked while boarding a train earlier this weekend. Reports say she got into an argument with a man. Things escalated when the unidentified man hit her with some sort of object. And this is just some of the stories that were included in the Violent Weekend report. Another man was stabbed. But all of this to say that Eric Adams is under fire after this Violent Weekend on the subway station, saying that he has failed to keep his promise of a subway homeless outreach and safety plan that was supposed to have started months ago. They say that he joined a plan that was put out by the NYPD, and this was spoken about back in January, and they have not seen anything as of yet. A news station went and camped out at 42nd Street subway station, and they said that they can clearly see all the things that Mayor Adams spoke about, but they saw none of the people that he said would be out for this new safety plan. They were saying that they saw people yelling at riders. They saw homeless people sleeping on the train and in the station. They saw police officers, but the most the police officers did was give directions. They did nothing to help the riders. They did nothing for the homeless people. And people are wondering what's going on. When is this plan going to take effect? And why is it taking so long? And lastly, we have an update on a story that I brought to you a couple of weeks ago about the $30 million given by the Biden administration to hand out free crack pipes. Well, we have a fact check that was given by a news organization. Reports say that claims that the Biden administration is distributing $30 million worth of crack pipes is, I say, sort of a false claim. They say the confusion stems from a February 7th article published by the Washington Free Beacon. There is a federal grant program aimed to reducing the health risks associated with drug use. Reports say that the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration put together a harm reduction plan grant program that will issue $30 million in grant awards, which is said to help decrease access to a range of community, increase access to a range of community harm reduction services and support harm reduction service providers as they work to help prevent overdose deaths and reduce health risks often associated with drug use. Now, I say sort of false because some of the services they provide, for example, one of their goals that they listed on their site was to reduce overdose deaths and other early deaths among people who use substances, including alcohol, and increase knowledge around safer substance use. Another goal was to reduce substance use equipment approved, physical health, and reduce the spread of infectious diseases. And the activity that they have listed for this such goal is things like syringe service programs, sterile syringes, and other injection equipment to prevent and control the spread of infectious diseases, safe smoking supplies, which could mean pipes. So now the $30 million is not exactly $30 million worth of crack pipes, but for some of these services that they are providing to drug users is to give them sterile syringes and safe smoking supplies. So I can understand where this quote-unquote rumor came from, but in my opinion, we can also see that it does hold some truth. They are supplying money to give people clean needles if you shoot up. They are supplying money to give people clean smoking utensils, which could be crack pipes, in order to reduce the risk of spreading infectious diseases. So no, the whole $30 million is not going directly to crack pipes, but I feel like it holds some sort of truth. So what do you say, fact or fiction? And now, excuse me, for our wild story of the week, another police raid gone wrong. Anjanette Young from Chicago says her home was mistakenly raided back in 2019 by Chicago police due to false information that said a male with a gun lived in her house. Ms. Young said during the 40-minute raid, police handcuffed her and made her stand naked in front of a dozen male Chicago police officers. Ms. Young says she had just gotten home from work and was undressing to get comfortable in her home after a long day of work when police officers ran into her home, guns drawn. Ms. Young says she told police officers that she lives alone and that they had the wrong house, but they still handcuffed her, told her to relax. At one point, one of the police officers attempted to cover her with a small jacket and then a blanket, but those items did nothing to cover her body. She says that it wasn't until 10 minutes into the raid and after a female officer arrived on the scene that she was permitted to get dressed. She said at the end of it, police discovered that the person they were looking for was in the next apartment next door and with an electronic monitoring bracelet on. Young sued the city, and after rejecting the city's offer to settle for $1 million, Ms. Young has just recently accepted a $2.9 million settlement. Ms. Young says she was humiliated and now suffers from PTSD. She says the money did not equate to justice for her and that she would have rather the police officers all been fired than to have received a dime in compensation. I think something definitely needs to be done about these police raids. Thankfully, no one was harmed or lost their life, but we have heard of countless stories of officers raiding the wrong home. And I get that you hear there's a gun involved and that you just want to get in there and take care of things, but make sure you have the right information. I mean, if it was me personally, I would have been good with the money, but that's just me. This has been Vivian with Socially Conscious giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Well, thank you, Vivian. Well, we're going to definitely celebrate these numbers going down, down, down.
Yes, thank God.
At, some numbers going down. Hold on, Viv. I just thought of something. You know, if I don't write it down, I'm messed up. Something that I want to ask the ladies. Well, thank God, you know, all jokes aside, thank God that the numbers are going down and, you know, some relief might be coming for our, you know, society here. Really grateful to God. And like you said, you know, we just got finished with a word of thanksgiving. So we definitely don't want to be short of saying thanks to God for seeing these numbers going down. That definitely means less deaths and long-term illnesses. I want to talk to you about this last little story. You know, did you say that there were no arrests or anything of the, I'm not arrests, I'm sorry, there was no disciplinary action from?
None of the officers received any disciplinary action.
Wow.
Not one.
Wow. And this was in Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay. Needless to say, was this on our side of the fence?
Of course.
Okay. All righty. Thank you, Vivian. Thank you so much for our socially conscious information. You make sure you have a blessed day.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you. All right. We, you know, as always, Vivian has left us something to talk about, and we've got some comments from the listeners. So we're gonna get to a whole lot of chatter this morning. So let's say good morning to our Elder Nitesha Moore. Good morning, Elder Nitesha.
Good morning. Good morning, beautiful. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. Before we get started, I want to definitely let the listening audience know that, you know, Elder Nitesha, is it every Wednesday morning you're doing the prayer?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. And I think I was a minute behind you. I think I picked it. I picked it up, and I did listen to the prayer, but it was no longer live. It was still very inspirational, very moving, and I definitely felt blessed to have experienced your Our Wow morning, Wednesday morning prayer. And you know, you got the little the visual going on there with the sun coming up. So that was really, really nice and calming. So thank you so much for offering that to God's people. So I definitely wanted to mention that this morning. How long have you been doing it?
Since the new year. So I started in January, and so it's because I pray with my church on Wednesday mornings, and so then right after that, the Lord led me to do that on Facebook. So then I've been doing it since January.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations on an increase of the ministry, and I'm sure we have a lot more to look forward to. Amen.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. We got these COVID numbers coming down, and I wanted to ask you about, you know, they're lifting restrictions. They're lifting restrictions in Germany and some other countries. They're beginning to lift a lot of our restrictions here in the United States. And I just wanted to get your thought on, you know, now it seems like we might be moving into a new direction that we haven't seen in a while. What comes to your mind?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're excited about entering into this new normal where, you know, we are lifting restrictions so that we can get back to some semblance of normality. I want us to just be thoughtful. I want the government officials to be thoughtful about how quickly we're moving so that we don't find ourselves with a resurgence. You know, I think that's what we did see happen with at the end of 2020, right? We were so quick to want to get back to normal that we begin to open up and lift restrictions, and then found ourselves with a resurgence, with numbers starting to increase again, and the new variants emerging and things of that nature. So as long as, you know, we're moving in these directions cautiously, we're not just wanting so bad to, you know, return to our economical, you know, movements and pumping money back into systems and communities. And I understand its importance, but we do want to make sure that we're doing it in a safe way so that we don't have these constant new variants and resurgences.
Amen. Thank you for your thought there. And minus our wow story, What do you want to talk about this morning?
I think we can talk about the question that Vivian posed to us. She said, is it fact or fiction in regards to the $30 million with the information of the full story behind it? I think any part of something that's a lie makes it a lie. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we were all up in arms in regards to the fact that, you know, you're going to invest $30 million into just providing people with the ability to continue in unhealthy behaviors. But as she read,
right.
What I understand is that the emphasis isn't on the actual one full $30 million going to this service, but it is also the emphasis, and when you listen to what you read, the emphasis is on controlling infectious disease, and that is necessary.
It is necessary because
fortunately, the drug epidemic is a big problem. If we do not get a handle on it, then we will find new diseases plague our communities by way of those who indulge in drug usage. So again, we saw that the AIDS pandemic was spread because of sharing and things of that nature. And so again, and remember, every drug addict doesn't look the same. So you have functioning drug addicts who, you know, that may not be homeless out there on the street and just fit the profile of what we imagine, but you do have functioning drug addicts that are out here sharing needles and then went home and transferred diseases to their loved ones, to their other significant others. And so I do think that this does shed light, and it does give a different perspective and different take on it. I do think it is necessary, because if you can't stop people from using drugs, then what you can try to limit are the comorbidities that emerge as a result of people's unhealthy choices. So I can't stop every drug addict from using drugs, but what I can stop or try to limit is the impact of your choice in society.
Absolutely. You know, that's the first thing I thought about when the needles were brought up. You know, that's something that they did back in the 80s. You know, when like you said, when the epidemic of AIDS and HIV rather hit the air. You know, that's one of the things that they realized that was helping to spread, because they were sharing. So they did start giving out that. I remember people being in an uproar about that. Do you remember that? They were living. They were like, what are you doing? It's almost like the same uproar we had when we thought of, you know, they were giving out these crack pipes. And, unfortunately, there are areas where we have to develop, if you can't beat them, join them, type of thing.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, not for everything, but definitely for something. So point well taken. It's something that we do actually need to think about, you know, when you're looking at stuff like this. So we'll ask the ladies, what Vivian posed, fact or fiction. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we'll be back to continue our conversation.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's say good morning to our lady, Tamika Evans-Jones. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. We have gotten to the middle of the week. How are you this morning?
Amen. Absolutely. Amen, amen, amen. How are you this morning?
I am doing well. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well, giving God thanks. So, we've got the COVID numbers coming down. And like I post to Eldon and Tisha, you know, they're releasing a lot of these COVID restrictions, and I wanted to know what you thought.
I wanted to celebrate, you know, COVID numbers going down. Going down. No, I'm just joking. It is something to celebrate about. However, we need to be wise, you know. We also realize that, you know, the more we're out and about, you know, New York should have been the learning lesson, you know, if no one else, you know. Areas like Florida where they don't have a mask mandate and they have just as many people, you know, has seen an alarm. And, you know, the thing, more people feel that, well, it's my right. However, you know, it becomes my right when I go into a grocery store and you don't have on a mask and you're standing literally right behind my shoulder, you know, or you're right in my face on the phone. It's just seriously not fair. You know, and I think that we really have to be careful because it's not, COVID is not like a cold where you can automatically see, you know, the minute that you have it. And so I think the more we provide these openings and these avenues for people to do, you know, some people will, you know, knowing, you know, there are some people that literally go out and know that they have COVID. We've already had it many a times on the news. And not really responsible for anyone else, even including themselves. So I think it is something that needs to be looked at a lot more thoroughly.
All right, all right. Well, we have an update on our $30 million crack pipe distribution story. And Vivian wants to know, what do you think, fact or fiction?
I think it, you know, that there is a need, you know, there are people out there that, as previously stated, it's not just your issue. When you live in a household with someone who has it to that degree, because we're not talking about everyone, but when you live in a household who has an addiction to that degree, you become, susceptible to whatever, you know, whether it's, you know, stealing or whether it's, you know, you utilized the needle and you came home to me, then I become a part of whatever it is that you're doing, you know. And I think it is important that you provide the venue. Whether people will use it, I'm not sure. Because my thing is, if you're just trying to get it, I'm not sure that your mindset is on trying to make it clean. I'm hoping that, you know, it will help, but I'm not quite sure.
Okay. You ladies are talking, and I'm thinking. I'm thinking. I got something for Pastor Kim. Now that you mentioned some stuff, Lady Tamika. Well, thank you for answering that. Well, minus our wow story, what do you want to talk about today?
I want to talk about the young lady who was shot in the stomach after getting in an Uber that did not follow the description that she was provided. We have had incidences before where something like this happened. And you really, really, really have to be so very careful as a lady traveling by yourself, including, you know, being pregnant. Because for me, if you don't look like the picture that I saw, if I say to you, is your name such and such, and you say no, if the license plate doesn't adhere to what it is that I see on my Uber or whatever it is that I'm using, as well as the color. You know, they're telling me it's a black car and you come in here with something white, then I clearly will continue to walk. I'm not getting in the vehicle, you know, and I'm not saying that that was the reason. However, you really have to be careful. And maybe that might have been why they started arguing and he shot her, but not sure. But when it doesn't look like exactly what the information that you've provided, then you need to walk on or find another venue. Cancel that one and get another one. and keep going until you get the right thing.
You know, Lady Tamika, I'm confused. I have to say, ladies, I'm confused. What are the bonuses that, and y'all stop me if I'm wrong, what are the bonuses, and I use that word, you know, purposely, what are the bonuses of using Uber, Lyft, is because it offers some caveats that flagging a cab down doesn't offer, such as license plate, such as picture, such as color, such as, what in the world are we thinking when we, I use the app. Now, at one point, Shantice and Tamasia, you know, they got mad at me because they were like, come on, Ma. But, you know, when I upgraded the phone, I was able to now put this app on the phone. And this is a bonus. First of all, you ain't got to pull no money out your pocket. I ain't got to negotiate over the amount of money that, you know, I'm supposed to pay you for this ride. And that's less talking. Yeah, listen, we ain't got to be chatting and all of this kind of stuff, because before I get in this vehicle, all of these things have been matched. And then on top of that, when you get in the vehicle, you know, I put Pastor, and they're like, Pastor, yep, that's me, because I have already checked your license plate, your color, your car. My question is, what else are you looking for, Lady Tamika? If you ain't looking for the specs that's in your phone, then what else are you looking for? Help me out. How do we do this? We can't be all that desperate to be getting in the car, pregnant or not, because she's not the only person who's done it. But why are we doing this? What could possibly explain why I'm looking at what they have set up for my safety and my convenience, and I'm going on the outside of that to just jump up in the car, and I'm going to call my father or someone else and tell him, well, the color ain't the same. Help me understand this here.
That's the part that I'm not understanding. Anytime that any little portion is wrong, I'm not getting in the car. You tell me that the car is a let's just say a Volkswagen, and you come in with a Durango. That's a problem. It's not even the same size. It's not, forget the color. You know, and I'm looking at the purpose of having to be able to look at you, you know, before I get in the, okay, wait a minute, let me see, this looks different. Then I'm not getting in your car. The fact that she got in the car is surprising to me, because there are all those safeguards. You know, those safeguards were put there because they saw the problems that transpired. You know, you reaching into your purse, and the next thing you know, the taxi cab driver is in the seat with you, you know, trying to get money from you, you know. Or, you know, all of the safeguards, anything that would keep you safe, you just avoided all of that and just said, okay, I'm getting in the car. Were you in that much of a rush that, you know, you just bypassed all of that and said, okay, I'm getting in the car? It's for your safety.
I'm lost. I'm lost as well. I don't get it. Not only that, here's my thing. How he knew to stop for you? If this ain't the car, I'm lost. Girl, I'm so lost, I don't even know what to do with myself. I'm just lost. I'm serious. Because just yesterday, I was in an Uber. And the first thing I asked the other person that was riding with me, I was like, okay, what's the car? He said, the car is outside. And I wasn't looking at the phone. And the first thing I asked him was, okay, is the car matching? I said, that's from the bathroom, Tamika. What in the world? I'm sorry. Y'all know how I can get turned up and get all high-pitched and all of that. Come on, Elder Night Teacher, help me with this thought here, please. Somebody help me.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with the confusion of bypassing all of the safety that were put in place by having these apps. That's the purpose of the app, because they did find an uptick in crime when you just flag down a taxi. You don't know what you're flagging down. You didn't have nothing
right.
to determine whether or not this was actually a real taxi or not.
Right.
You had no clue. And so now here we are in 2022 with technology and nuances, and we would still make decisions that will put us in jeopardy and in danger. Like, that's a us problem. Like, that, Miss, that's a us problem. And it doesn't mean that you deserve the outcome. I'm not saying that at all.
Absolutely.
You know, but it does, you know, wave a red flag to say, people, let's utilize these apps for the fullness of what they offer
right.
us. At the least, be safe.
Right. And again, that offers for less conversation. You know,
right.
just yesterday I ended up coming back with a guy. You know, we were really, really talking, and, you know, we got to talking from, you know, the traffic and all of this kind of stuff. But most times, once I get in the car and he or she says pass, and I'm like, yes, thank you so much. I didn't get all my checks and balances before I didn't got up in this car. The conversation is over. Ain't nothing to talk about. I don't want to talk. I don't want to hum. Just get me to my destination, please. Just, you know, I don't want to do all of that. So therefore,
right.
you know, like a lady Tamika said, we don't know what, you know, instigated the argument. You know,
right.
it, you know, and it could be for anything. It could have been for anything, but I sure hope it wasn't that you got up in this car and then you started arguing over that, over the checks
yeah.
and balances after you didn't set your butt in the seat. So, you know, I like that. It's an us problem. It is an us problem, and we need to definitely, you know, get ourselves together. And with that, thank you so much for joining us, Lady Tamika. I'm going to start on a high note with my girlfriend, Pastor Kim. Help us out here. What's your thought of somebody jumping up in a car that ain't matching the description? Possible? And is it, okay, so wait. If it's not matching the color, is it matching the person, Pastor Kim?
That's a red flag. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. You have to use wisdom, you know, I mean, and especially in this day and time, you would think that, you know, that you would be more mindful and more conscious. I mean, across the board, I just think that when it comes down to getting into these Ubers, I mean, you really want to just do your homework and check out these people that you're getting in a vehicle with, you know. I mean, it's nothing to be taken lightly. I mean, and especially if the credentials and the things are not matching up, to me, that would make me say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to get in this vehicle, you know. I mean, under
Absolutely.
No circumstances, I wouldn't.
Absolutely.
You know.
Mm-mm. Okay, Pastor Kim, I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
So the color ain't the same, right? I'm going to play a little game here. Color ain't the same, right? Are you going to stick your head in and ask a question?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. You could be the New York serial killer. You know what I mean? And you sticking your head in there, what form of statue in there? I mean, you just, you know, you don't play with the devil. I mean, come on.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You know, yeah.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Pastor Kim. Glad to have you all with us. How are you today?
I am absolutely wonderful. I am absolutely wonderful.
Good. Very good. You know, I also want to mention that, Pastor Kim.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to mention that Pastor Kim also does a Saturday morning prayer, and I'm on with her each Saturday morning. Now I have a Wednesday to join in on with my sisters, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be on with Pastor Kim on Saturday mornings, which is our Sabbath morning, and a nice way to get the morning started. And how long have you been doing your Saturday morning prayer, Pastor Kim?
Well, it would have to be over 3 years now, because it was so funny how the Lord gave me the Saturday Live before, like 6 months before the pandemic even hit.
Okay.
So it's been about 3.5 years now.
Amen, amen, amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have midweek in the morning. You have Elder Nyetisha. Now, Elder Nyetisha, what time does it start?
At 6:20.
At 6:20. Thank you. And Pastor Kim, you're at 9 a.m., correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All righty. So you've got, you know, if you're enjoying the ladies on Wednesday, you definitely have a bonus on Wednesday morning and Sabbath morning, Saturday morning. And giving God thanks that we can have an extension of their ministries. Pastor Kim, we've got these COVID numbers coming down, thank God. And we've got the release of these COVID restrictions. I want to give you an opportunity to, say what you think when you think of, you know, now we're going to, you know, be less mandated to do some things. How do you think this is going to work going forward?
Well, you know, my opinion is that we have to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. I think that it's time, you know. I know that we are all ready to get back to a life of normalcy. You know, it's been almost 3 years, and it's been a long time coming. But I would still say be careful for nothing. You know, for me, I just feel like, you know, even though things are being lifted, I still, and I've been vaccinated and boosted as well, but I just think that we still have to use discernment and discretion, you know, when going certain places with big crowds and things, what have you. I would still say maybe, you know, still even maybe put a mask on until you really just feel, you know, more comfortable, or until the numbers, you know, continue to gradually go down, you know, even the more. So I think this is something that we have to gradually get back into, because I think that for a lot of us, we'll still just not feel 100% comfortable to come out of these masks. These masks have almost become a way of life or a part of our attire, you know?
And, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they become a part of your daily wardrobe, you know, what have you. So you just really have to really just be wise. You know, I really believe that the storm is passing over, and I'm so thankful and grateful, because I can feel just by way of the spirit that the storm is passing. I feel it. You know, I can feel it in the atmosphere. I can feel it in my spirit, and I'm so thankful to God, you know. But, again, I'm still just trying to be a little cautious at times in certain places, you know, when I'm led to put it on, you know, I just do.
Okay. Thank you. And Vivian wants to know regarding the $30 million crack pipe modification. What do you think? Fact or fiction? Is, you know, what do you think of this, you know, change in the storyline?
You know, I think it has a negative and a positive to it. But I think that, you know, that if it's, you know, going to, I almost look at that situation like, if you know a person is going to, or people are going to be having sex, then,
Pastor Kim! That was the question that I wrote down. Remember I said I got a question for Pastor Kim? Oh, my goodness. Great minds think alike.
You supply them with condoms, you know, to let them have safe sex. So that's kind of like the revelation that I got out of that situation.
Okay. That's what I, when I said to Lady Tamika, I said, I'm writing the question down for Pastor Kim. That's what I wanted, you know, to ask you. Would you make that, you know, kind of correlation between the two? And you did, and you did. And it makes you, you know, without getting into our feeling, because that's a different, we definitely need some time to sit down and talk about that. But you know, that is something that could be looked at similarly, and you did make the comparison slightly, and you know, it's again, you know, some people feel if you can't beat them, join them, and sometimes in life we do have to go that route, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. Outside of that, so thank you for that. Outside of that, what do you want to talk about today? I want to give you the same opportunity I gave the other ladies. We got a couple of minutes before we get started in our main topic. Anything come past you that you, other than the last story, other than the story about the police raid, you know, what comes to your mind with these stories here today?
You know, it's just, to me, it's so much going on in the world, you know, that it almost just, it's just such a time. It's like, you know, right when you think that you've heard it all, you know, it's just, I don't know, you know, it just really makes you thankful and grateful to know God, you know, especially in a time such as this, because, you know, it's scary. And you think about your children, grandchildren that have to grow up in this type of world. You know, this is, it's always been things that have gone on in life, but a 3-year pandemic, the killing and just the things that are going on, you know. I don't know if you all might have heard about the killing of this 5-year-old kid that was killed, you know, at home. Another 5-year-old kid was killed by a 16 and a 17-year-old, you know. Who would kill a 5-year-old kid? Execution stuff. I mean, that for me is like, if we are not in our last and evil days, I, you know, it is so evident, you know, that we are so close to the end. And it would only make me feel like, you know, Lord, just help me to be ready and to be right when you come back, because this stuff is going on. This is not the way life is supposed to be, you know, but the Bible is just fulfilling itself.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Kim. Well, ladies, I definitely want to, you know, just touch on our wow story, especially being that it really taps into some high level of disrespect. High level of disrespect when, you know, up until a woman enters the room, until a police woman enters the room, you've been mandated to and pressured to stand absolutely naked. You know, somebody's going to offer you a coat or, you know, some stuff. And someone, until she walks into the room, you're not allowed to dress. And at the end of the day, only to find out that the person that they're looking for is next door with an ankle bracelet monitor. Now, if this ain't the most idiotic, this stuff is getting worse. So here's what I'm going to ask you, ladies. I want to ask you, what would you have? Now, Vivian says that, you know, hey, the 2.9 mil would have been fine for her. And, you know, the lady is saying, hey, you know, well, I wish there had been some firings or whatever have you, but she took the money. And I'm asking you, you know, what would have been an acceptable, you know, offer for you, Elder Natisha?
I agree with the woman, because I think she was saying, listen, you know, thank you for this money, right? I'm not going to accept no $1 million. I'm going to need a little bit more than that. a little more than that. My humiliation.
Oh, goodness.
My pain and suffering, and it is. I mean, it's like when someone steals from you, the invasion of a person just taking from you is long lasting. It really is. And for someone to just invade your space and to invade your privacy without thought of who you are as a person, that's hard. And the effects of that is long lasting. And I do think that along with the money, you do want to see some head roll. You do expect to see someone take accountability for this error. We understand that human error is a part of everything, right, that is at the helm with humans at the helm of it. So we understand that there is margin for human error, but there are also consequences. Because once, I think it's an error on top of an error, on top of an error, on top of an error. You making the wrong decision to not clearly trace the ankle bracelet to the appropriate apartment is an error. Then the continual persistence into this woman's home, right, is another error. But now you have this woman just naked, and you dehumanize her by allowing her to just stand there in that state like that. It's the continual error that causes you to say, no, I need someone to take accountability. For me, I would want someone to face some consequences for how I was treated.
All right. Come on, Lady Tamika. With all that has been done to me in this error on error, what would be acceptable to you as an offering for what, you know, this fiasco?
Right, and at this point, we don't know what she's going through, you know. Just something as simple as having one of those dreams, you know, about, you know, you waking up naked and everybody's looking at you, you know, that's a dream. But this thing is this woman's reality, you know, and we don't know what type of person she might have been. She might have been very private, you know, and the fact that, you know, you got, what, 10, was it 10 or 12 gentlemen? You know,
one of the two.
You know, even whatever the range was, you know, whether it was one or two, you know, I'm telling you, you have the wrong home. You're handcuffing me, so that means that you've got to touch me, you know. And the fact that I have, you're in my neighborhood, so the likelihood of me coming past you or seeing you again is very probable, you know, and nothing is happening. So now, you know, especially considering what she's gone through, 9 times out of 10, anytime she sees a police car, anytime she sees a police officer, you know, by the back and he's a gentleman, she automatically refers to that thing. And so, you know, yeah, the money is nice. However, you know, I still got to deal with this. I'm still living in this neighborhood. I still may have to come across, you know, a cop or two, you know, and we as women, we all know, you know, just in our everyday apparel, you know, we get that look. And now she's completely naked. You got 10 or 12 gentlemen looking at you, you know, and men don't automatically mean to, but sometimes they give you that look. So now you've got a room of men, and you're the only female, and nothing was done until this one lady, this officer, you know, helped you. A jacket, a little jacket, you might as well give me one of the little washcloths. What is that going to cover? You know, my heart goes out to her, you know, that she had to even go through that, you know. And so, yeah, money is good, but it doesn't solve the fact that nothing was done for my pain, for what I had to go through, for my humiliation. I'm still suffering.
All righty. Oh, Pastor Kim, come on, what you mandating they give you?
Look, they can give me $100 million. You know. You know. I don't think it's a dollar amount that they can give you, you know, when you have, you know, suffered such a humiliation, you know, such as that. You know, to have to be exposed, you know, to you know, have your body parts, you know, exposed in front of all of these strangers, you know, I'm sure that behind that, you know, going through such, you know, a traumatic thing, you would deal with some PTSD, you know, and you know, some things money just cannot pay for, you know, the pain and the suffering that you experience, you know, the humiliation, you know, the being falsely accused, all of that, you know. So I don't think that, I think that something more should have been done. You know, the money is good that you will get compensated for, you know, just being wrongly accused or whatever, but you know, it has to be consequences taken so that the officers can stop making these mistakes and doing the things that are being done, the killing, you know, just do it. It's just crazy. You know, something has to be done so that they could be more careful, you know, and be more thorough in their, you know, accusations, or, you know, them, you know, going up in people's homes and, you know, killing these people like this. It's terrible.
All righty. Woo! I tell you, this stuff is just getting slowly worse and worse.
Yes,
so we got a comment from our listening audience. So let's just see what they have to say before we move into our conversation for the morning. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning. What you got for us today?
Okay, I just had a quick comment about that, the wow story. You know, like it was said, the money's nice. You know, you think of a few things right off the top of your head you could use the money for. However, they're not being penalized at all. Those are most likely taxpayers' dollars that they're giving you. It is not coming from the police department itself. Or even if it is, it's not coming directly from the ones who, you know, did the deed. So really, there is no penalty, realistically. You know, so it's like, they're kind of quick to take the money a lot of times, and then when you take the money, you really just arm yourself from there being any little justice done. And I know the thoughts of, oh, how long is this going to take, and are they really going to listen to me, and I got to stay persistent. But those are the things that have to be done in order for there to be something really done. So unfortunately, situations like this, I mean, you have to forego the money in order for there to be any real justice served. Because once you take that hush money, that's it. They ain't trying to hear nothing from you. And you can't blame them. You know, regardless of who the money's coming from, I'm not about to pay you $10 and then hear your mouth. I just told you to shut up. So you're going to have to really, like, forego the money. I mean, that's their mentality. You know, it's, I just gave you the pacifier, now shut up. You know, so you're going to have to really forego the money. You ain't have the money to begin with. You know, you was naked with $10. Now, fight for your right with the same $10 and really see them, you know, because who's to say that you wouldn't be able to get them fired plus get their pension? But a lot of times we like to take the quick way out, you know, so you got to be willing to really go in, as you say. You got to really be willing to go in, because this is why they keep doing it. They're not being penalized. If I do something and my parents have to pay for it, how much am I going to really feel? I'm not going to feel that. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because I'm not the one paying.
All right. Some kind of thought. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. We pray you have a blessed day. All right. Thank you, ladies, for going on our little news journey with us. You know, each week we try to come up with something that we can really bless our listeners with. And, you know, this, you know, it's interesting because three of the four of us have prayer ministries. And you think about all the things that happen in our lives that can actually stop the blessings and hinder the prayers. And I wanted to talk about that this morning. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't realize until this morning that Elder Natisha had begun a prayer in the mornings. So this is definitely something that is great here to talk about. So we're talking about the ways your prayers can be hindered. And we're talking about lack of love. Your prayers can be hindered by a lack of love. And I'm going to start with you, Lady Tamika. What's your thought?
So your deeds are not loving. You know, the last person, you're the last person in the world that anybody wants to come to because the disposition, the way that you treat people, the things that you do in your lifestyle, they don't represent Christ, you know. And so you're praying and you're wondering why, you know, you're still going through the issue. And it's because you're not even expressing love in your home, you know, to the people that you come through. In your workplace, you're the least approachable. It does matter, you know, the things that you do, the way that you live your life, you're accountable to God. And so if it's not right, you need to correct it.
All righty. Nice start. Pastor Kim, you know, your prayers are hindered by lack of love.
Absolutely. You know, love is charity. You know, love, it talks about love in Corinthians, you know. And the Bible says that knows the love that we have one for another. And if we don't first love God, how can we love others? You know, love is an action word. And love is not what it says, it's what it does. And so love suffereth long. You know, we have to, and if we say that we love, then that means we have to suffer. We're going to have to suffer. We're going to have to go through some things. We're going to have to endure some things for the sake of the cross. But that's what love does, because that's what God did. You know, and if we are imitators of him, we should have the spirit of suffering and long suffering and willing and able to endure the cross. You know, no pain, no gain, no cross, no crown. So when we say that we love, you know, these are some of the things that we have to go through to be able to see and to see our prayers being answered. These are some of the things that we have to go through.
Amen. Elder Natisha, you know, when we're thinking of, you know, the fact that we're taking the time to pray, but there's no love, that will definitely hinder the us getting answered.
Absolutely. You know, God searches the heart, and our intentions
as it pertains to prayer is very important. One, if we are praying for the edification of the body of Christ, then it must be done with love and compassion and empathy. And in fact, I think that the closer you move in prayer, right, because there are levels to prayer, right? There's the outer court, the inner court. And so, like, as you press into the realm of prayer, the closer you get to God and to God's heart, the closer, you know, you are to be having that same type of heart, that same type of love, that same type of compassion. And the absence of that, I think, actually keeps you afar off. And so that's what hinders your prayer. What hinders your prayer is that you are literally praying out of a heart that is still latent with potentially with unforgiveness, with latent with, you know, today the focus of my prayer was on being delivered from trauma. And so if there is trauma that is trapped in your heart, trapped in your emotions, trapped in your spirit, and you're trying to pray out of a broken place, your prayers are hindered, because first, we ought to be praying for a clear path of deliverance, a clear path of healing for ourselves, so that we can then have that same level of compassion. Other than that, our prayers will start sounding like some of those prayers that we know David is famous for, right? Like, God, you know, break their neck. You know what I mean? We'll start praying those David prayers. You know, over our enemies and stuff like that. But, you know, our heart posture, it matters. So that, one, as we're praying for others, God is also doing a work in us. And so the clarity and the openness of our heart absolutely matters.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, ladies. We have prayers can be hindered because of pride. Come on, Pastor Kim. Pride is going to hinder our prayers from being answered.
Absolutely. Pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, we cannot be so prideful or so puffed up or act like that we're so self-righteous or that we're so perfect, you know, as intercessors, you know, as prayer warriors. We have to first, you know, a lot of times when I pray, you know, my prayer is, Lord, if I said, did, or thought anything that will hinder this prayer for reaching heaven, you know, creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit. Because if we could be honest with ourselves, just because we are called to be intercessors or prayer warriors or what have you, that doesn't make us perfect. It doesn't make us God. You know, we all sin and come short of the glory of God. We make mistakes. We fall short daily, you know, and that's why we have to repent daily, to make sure that we wash our slate clean so that and humble ourselves and not think more of ourselves than we ought to. You know, when we are going before God, we don't want anything to hinder our prayers from going forth. So it's important that we always just stay humble, you know, and not be, you know, so high-minded or act like, you know, that we've arrived or that we just got everything all together, you know. And we, you know, just want to have a heart of repentance, you know, so that God can hear our prayers.
All right, all right. Elder Natisha, we definitely don't want our prayers hindered because of pride, do we?
No, we don't. And I mean, pride is defined. First of all, pride is talked about a lot in the Old and New Testament, and I think the reason for that is because pride is an overestimation of ourselves, right? I think very highly of myself. And when you think so highly of yourself, there is also this arrogance that really suggests that you don't need God. And so that stands as a block, as a hindrance to the effectiveness, one, of how you live your life, and then even what it is you're praying about. Because if I don't really need God because I'm good, then I, you know, then my Ooh. Prayer takes on an arrogance that really stinks before the nostrils of God. So because what's coming out of us
is from a place of haughtiness. It's from a place of, you know, continue to add to my greatness, Father. It's not a, Father, I need you, because I recognize my sinful nature. I recognize your death on the cross for me. Instead, it is a prayer that says, you've made me so great, Father, and I'm grateful that you made me great. Continue to add to me. Continue to do for me. It continues to make me even better. It's self-centered. It's self-focused. And standing, actually, it resembles Satan. It resembles the reason why Satan was kicked out of heaven at the very beginning of this. It was because of his pride that he got kicked out, because you start looking at things and seeing yourself as God like yourself. So you don't need him. And that's a problem.
Ah, I thought about the same thing. Satan, and that was his issue. Ah, come on, Lady Tamika. Finish this up. How is pride going to work against your prayers being answered?
So I'm going to go to Proverbs 8 and 13, which says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. And in actuality, how is it that you're praying for someone else when in actuality, in the same frame, you're, oh, I did such and such for someone, and, oh, I'm better than such and such, you know. And what happens in most cases is that God will make you humble. You'll find yourself pleading when in actuality you should have been praying. However, because you were so proud and saying, oh, I helped such and such, and I, did you see these groceries that I got, and did you see this such and such that I did for such and such, you know, and there's no humility in that. And without humility, you do not get the honor, and the honor and the glory all belongs to God.
Amen, amen, amen. Ooh, I want to touch this one as our last one today. We have, prayers are hindered by our unbelief. Elder Nitisha, what are we telling our listeners?
Well, our unbelief, and so here's the thing, right? I think in our humanity, and I love the conversation that is had in the New Testament, where one of the disciples actually says to Jesus, Father, I believe, but help my unbelief. And so all of us, at one point in time of another, depending on the situation, depending on our view of the obstacle that we're facing, the things that we see on the media, in social media, on the news, and on radio, all of these things are pulling at our faith. They're pulling at us to get us to doubt. They're pulling at us and causing us to question the character of our God, the integrity of our God. They pull at us to say, you know, what kind of God allows for these type of things to happen? When you start thinking about how many churches have lost their pastors, and now you got bleeding churches that are trying to find their way forward because their pastor succumbed, you know, during this pandemic. When you look at all of these things, it begins to pull on parts of you that says, God, I believe you, but help the parts of me that are having trouble with my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And so I don't want to paint the picture to suggest to anyone who's listening that your relationship with God safeguards you from those moments in time of, you know, of having those thoughts, those emotions, those feelings of unbelief where you're questioning, what is this? But I think what is important for us to do is follow, and that's why the Bible is so amazing, because it leaves room for those parts of us, for the broken parts of us, for the imperfected parts of us that says, Father, I recognize right now I'm struggling with what I'm seeing. I'm struggling with what I'm experiencing. I'm struggling with reading your word and finding the God of the word in this earth. And that contradiction, or so it appears, makes it hard for me to consistently be in this space of belief and not have any doubt. There will be seasons where there are doubt, and when there are seasons when there are doubts, know that you can go to your Father and you can say, Father, help my unbelief. Help the parts of me, help the areas in my life where I'm struggling with believing you.
Amen, amen, amen. Lady Tamika, our prayers are hindered by our disobedience.
It's strange that, not necessarily strange, but how is it that you have a rule book, which is the Bible, and you don't adhere to it? You know, how is it that you expect things to happen and you don't believe? You know, your disobedience, you know, everything that we ever need to know, every guideline, every rule, every communication is in the Word of God. And when you don't adhere to it, it does affect your life. And what is it to pray if you're not going to believe that things are going to transpire? What good is it to pray if you're going to constantly worry about the thing? Either hand it over to the Lord and let it go, or continue to hold on to it. And that doesn't make sense. I'd rather release it to someone who can see all of the components, release everything to him, and know that everything in the end is going to be all right.
Amen, amen. Pastor Kim, we're wrapping this up with your prayers are hindered by your family discord.
Well, we can't have, you know, what we have to understand is that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness in high places. And the enemy always wants to come and cause division and sow a discord amongst family members. That's his job. But when we have a relationship with God, you know, and we are praying and constantly, you know, in a relationship with God, God is always speaking to us. And then, so with that being said, we should be able to see the enemy from afar and know his devices. So, you know, we cannot allow the enemy to sow a discord or have us separated from family, you know, because family is all we have, you know. And he, the enemy, anything that God loves, the enemy hates. And so he wants to have discord and confusion in families. But again, you know, we should always walk in love. We should always have a forgiving heart, because we have to forgive in order to be forgiven.
All righty. All right. Amen. Ladies, as always, you've done a fantastic job here helping our listeners understand how and why our prayers are hindered. We pray you have a blessed day.
You too.
You as well. Enjoy your day, ladies.
You too.
Oh, we've come to the point of our Wow Wednesday morning, where we get our Faith Over Fear segment. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene Beard. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning. How are you today?
Thank you. I am well. I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm well. Thank you.
Good, good, good. We're talking about prayers being hindered. And, you know, we this can go in a many different direction when we speak over faith over fear. So I'm going to just let you have at it and help our listeners understand how the faith over fear can definitely add or take away from our prayers being answered.
Amen. Well, if we are fearful, that means that we're not trusting and believing in the Lord. And when we pray, we have to be able to know that he is able and he will do what you ask him to do. But we have to be able to understand that God don't give us the spirit of fear. He gives us power, love, and a sound mind. We also have to understand that when we lay it before him and have a sincere heart and know that he is possible, that he can move every mountain. He can be able for whatever your prayer is for it to be able to come to pass. You know, trusting and believing him. Now, sometimes, you know, we pray and it doesn't happen at that moment, at that second, and then we become to where that we get in the way, you know, and now we want to do it. But if we're going to lay it to, we're going to lay it at his feet, we got to leave it at his feet and know that it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, it might not be the following year, but it's to come, you know, to come to pass. You know, because he's looking at to see of our faith, you know, and that is being able to know that you know that no matter what, God got your back. You know, he hear our prayers. He hear, he understands what we're going through. So whatever it is, you know, and like you said, it can go in so many ways, you know, of our family members, you know, ourselves, things that we want him to clean out. You know, or, you know, and we just hold on to people, places, and things sometimes that will hinder us. We won't be able to get too close to God because we're allowing that thing to stay in the middle. You know, so if we want to be able to, got to let it go. Got to be able to be sincere. And not only when you're praying and watch it manifest and watch how people are looking like, how did you make it? You know, and you're able to tell them how you're able to make it, you know, because I was in this, because I did this, you know, and was I fearful? Yes, I was. Was I didn't know where to, who to turn to? Yes, I did. But because of Jesus and because of relationship that I'm standing on his ground and knowing that all things are possible, that I am going to be able to know that God is going to do it. You know, and a lot of times that's what he does. He allows, you know, that test to come for us to be able to have more faith in him, to be able to stand on his word, to be able to go to whatever that scripture is of the situation that you're in, and to believe it and trust it. I am a witness to that, of that myself, of my confidence, you know, and being able to be fearful and thinking that I cannot be in the same place with different people, you know. So I know how that was. And now all I do is I stepped out on faith. I trust and believe. I gave it to the Lord. And now I just do what God tell me to do. You can do it because all you have to do is open your mouth and I'll speak through. And that's what I do now. I had to learn how to do that. And where I know now that nothing can hinder my prayer, because when I lay it at his feet, he did it. Think back of all the things that you asked him for. He did it. He'll even take you back to when you was a child and you might have a prayer that you was talking to him and might not even know God, but you talked it out and he did it. So always know that it is possible and that he will, and he stands with you no matter what, and only he will be able to move it, not you in yourself. So therefore, once you have that connection and have that relationship with him, all things are possible, and know that faith, that you have it, that it will over fear, be over your fear, and just be able to know that God is and God will, and he is always with you. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Sharlene, for our Faith Over Fear segment in regards to our prayers being answered. Have a blessed day, Pastor Sharlene.
Thank you. Do the same.
Thank you. It's about that time. It's about that time that we go before the Lord, holding hands and holding hearts, as I like to say. And let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father God, we come before you, and as always, we say thank you. Thank you first because you are God. Because you are God. And we don't have to come looking for you, but that you wake us up each and every day with a brand new set of mercies, that you love us so much that part of what happened before we went to sleep got wiped away. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for being that forgiving, loving, kind God that you have always been. You didn't just start today, but you've always been just that kind of God. Thank you. Thank you for just being the keeper of our soul. When we want to stray, we hear that still small voice. When we want to speak in a manner we have no business speaking, we hear that still small voice. God, when we just want to have our own way, we hear that still small voice. Well, God, this morning, we're talking about the things that we do or say or we don't do or say that could potentially hinder our prayer. God, and as we have made prayer an essential part of our life, we first want to say thank you that you have offered us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't even know what to say to you if we did not have the Spirit of the Lord inside of us. Thank you. Thank you for that guide, that counselor, that friend. Thank you, God. That being that just brings back to our remembrance what your holy word says. Thank you. And Lord, as we navigate through this thing called life, we're always stepping on the landmines, God. But we thank you because even as the explosions happen, you are right there to pick up the pieces, God. When we do things that we don't even think about, when we just react, when we respond in a certain manner, when we don't respond, and all of these things come up, when we're selfish and our pride is in the way, when we're looking in the opposite direction of where we should be focused on, all of these things, our disobedience, our family discord and how everything is so chaotic, God, our level of unbelief and our lack of love definitely sends us into a direction that keeps our prayers from being answered. Lord, we come to you humbly this morning, asking you for forgiveness, asking you to just point the way in only a way that you can. When we have taken our eyes off you, as the ladies have said, we ask you, God, to just turn us around. And we thank you for all the times that you've already done so. When we come to you, God, and we're asking you and petitioning you and we're begging and we don't know what to do and things are all twisted, but yet we're just in the opposite direction. There's your son that says, Father, I know you hear her, and I'm asking for you to offer a level of forgiveness. Thank you, God. Thank you. And we pray that everything that was said here today would offer up some assistance. That we don't want to work against ourselves. We don't want to go in the right way at the same time we're going in the wrong way. We don't want to step where the enemy has already stepped and it didn't work for him. It's surely not going to work for us. So, Lord, we thank you for every life that was laid on the line here today. We thank you, God, for just this prayer being answered, that you could have turned around and went in the other direction, but you stood right there, just answering, being the faithful God that you always are. You just continue to move in our lives, even when we don't even know you're going. We have no idea which direction you're going in, but you're steady moving. And we thank you for offering us life, for offering us peace, for offering us joy, for offering us just love, love that is beyond compare to anything we know this world to be able to offer us. Thank you for the peace that you've given. The peace that helps us to understand we can come back one more time. That you are not a God of second chances. We can't even count. We couldn't even fathom how often it is that you forgive us. So we say thank you, God, because we have learned just a little more today about what you expect of us, what you need from us, how you're anticipating blessing us. Ooh, you're just a good God all the way around. How can we say thank you for just touching and just loving and just blessing over and over and over again? We thank you for the lives of Vivian, of Elder Natisha, of Lady Tamika, Pastor Kim, Pastor Charlene, our listeners, all of our other due time crew. We thank you, Father. We thank you for preparing them before they get on, that they may be a blessing, even in ways that they don't even know. Just being hearers of your word, we thank you that we're not just talking to them, but we're talking to us. Thank you. Thank you. We don't hesitate to give you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, I look at this list of ways we can hinder our own prayer. And I think about that all the time. You know, I have assessed, you know what, we can't even get out of our own way. We always talk about what the white man doing. We always talking about what the brother man doing. You know, we ain't nothing but crabs in a barrel. But we work against ourselves. How you work against you? How? Well, God says, you know what, I'm going to talk to you today. And I'm going to give you all those little nuggets right in your face that you weren't even thinking about it. But you know what? I'm going to give it to you. That lack of love, that those times when we really need to forgive because it would show love in a special way. See, we always talk about the fact that forgiveness is more for us than the other person. And it is, because it makes us right with God. There's no way we can be right with God and get forgiveness from God and be blessed if we are walking around with unforgiveness. But forgiveness shows a level of love that people will never understand unless you forgive them. You know how many times that your forgiveness will humble the next person? Because let me tell you something. People know they're wrong. I don't care what the people know they're wrong. They know what they done did to you. They know when they should have done but they didn't do. They know this. They know when they done stole from you. They know when they have done things that have hurt and harmed you, hurt your feelings. Oh, they're not dumb. They're not dumb. They know it. They know it. But here's the problem. Our lack of forgiveness. See, we're the ones that are professing Christ. We're the ones that are telling people, yeah, I go to church and, you know, I read the Bible. But yet that unforgiveness sits out there and is shining brightly because it's causing us to behave or not to move in a certain manner that God needs us to move. But when we forgive, that's a level of love. Ooh, think about it when it comes from the angle of God's forgiveness, how much he loves us.
That's how God really displays his love, by forgiving us. That he didn't hold this against us and we don't stand a chance. And we're 30. And we're going to live until we're 82. So all between the years of 30 and 82, you're walking around with unforgiveness over your head. What kind of life would that be? Think about it. How would your life feel if you walked around with a level of unforgiveness from God? You would be so jacked up. That's how God really displays his love. So that is the way we can really display love toward our brother, our sister, when we forgive. Doesn't work any better than that. You could tell a person, I love you. But if you're still walking around with animosity and hatred, then we can't display love. It just doesn't work like that. We have to make sure we keep that in our head. When we talk about disobedience, that's the one that really gets me. And I tell people all the time, how in the world can you go and ask God for anything and look for your prayers to be answered when you are doing the opposite of what he's asking you to do? He said, because, see, my law is not burdensome. It shouldn't be weighing you down. So, you know, when people say, oh, you know, well, I don't want to, you know, go to church. I don't want to give my life to God because I want to live. I don't want to do that because, you know, I can't do nothing. You know, you people who go to church, every time I turn around, it's the don't, sister, don't, sister, don't, sister, don't. And you know what? That's our fault. Because that's the way we portray religion and relationship with God. And I say religion because some people do in a religious way. But the relationship with God is a bunch about a bunch of don'ts. That's the way we present it. Our faces are long, and I can't go out, and I can't drink, and I can't party, and I can't smoke, and, you know, I'm still trying to get over the fact that I can't do this and I can't do that. How is that a sell point into the life with Christ? When you are talking to a person about all the things you can't do. Man, when I think of all the freedom I have in the Lord, can nobody talk to me about nothing better than that? I don't care how much you drink. I don't care how much you party. I don't care how much you smoke. Have you ever seen Stephanie in the room? I have more fun than the people who are turning up. And that's because the joy of the Lord resides inside. And can nobody look at me sick or well? Sick or well? And say, she's not living. Because I slide into the operating room, no matter how grim it is, with a smile on my face and joy in my heart. I ain't worried, because you know what? Whatever I done did, if I haven't done it before I'm sliding up in this operating room, I sure can't do it under anesthesia. So, Stephanie, you done messed up and blew your chance. So we're going to have to get this thing together. Come on. We got to be obedient. We got to offer a level of love. We have to offer forgiveness. We can't be prideful because the ladies have laid it out this morning. You can't be walking in fear. The ladies have laid it out this morning. Because how does God get through? If you're walking through shivering in your boots, how? It don't work. So you know what? Let this be a lesson to you today. Am I allowing these things to stand in the way of my relationship with God? Am I allowing these things to hinder my prayer?
Because, see, I need God. I don't know about y'all, but Stephanie needs God. I need to be able to go to God knowing that exactly what he's asked me to do, I'm willing to do. I'm going to do. I might trip and fall and, you know, stumble along the way. But it ain't because I ain't trying. And I don't give up. Is that what you, is that your focus today? Is that your determination today? That by hook or by crook, I'm going to do whatever it is I have to do. I'm going to stop telling God how hard it is. I'm going to stop telling God that, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do it, Lord. Lord, you know, you asking of me. You know what you asking, and you know how hard it is. Is that going to be our conversation with God? Or are we just going to get up and do whatever it is we need to do? Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen today. Right now. Because remember, later and tomorrow is not promised. And we may need to just ask God to do that one thing. And something we've done is standing in the way. Standing in the way of us getting that prayer answered. And I'm sorry, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to hear anything other than, yes, Stephanie. God just filled me in on how he answered a prayer that I had been asking and asking and asking. You're not in the same way, because, you know, you got to upgrade that that prayer. But I was going to God. And he let me know. He said, I've answered you. And that's not the first time he's told me, I've answered you. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to know that whatever we go to God for, he's going to say yes? Because we are asking in alignment with his will for our life. We're not asking something, you know, that we don't need or something he may not want. No. We're asking based on his will for our life. And when we're asking in alignment with what God already wants for our life, we're already ahead of the game. Because we ain't got to beg for what he wants. Ooh. But we're talking about making sure that we don't step in the way of him saying yes. Because you know what? It could be what he wants for us. But because we are out of alignment with what we're doing at the time. You know, we can't be asking for a husband and we out here everybody's mistress. Come on. Will God send us a husband like that? Well, let's hope not. Because that means if he does, we ain't ready. So we want to make sure that we got this together, okay? Make sure you don't do anything that will hinder your prayer before God. And you'll walk around with a smile on your face and in your heart. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for helping me hold it down. And I want to thank you for listening and being a part of our morning. Please, please choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where it's Therapeutic Thursday. Godspeed. I love you.